The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a new segment with a very familiar face and voice. It is Jody Jackson, who will be joining us every Monday at 10:15 a.m. Brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. We appreciate their support. Jody Jackson's Gems. Jody and I are going to bounce around all sorts of things. She was on the 10-game road trip with the Diamondbacks. She is involved with watching the Cardinals. And so every Monday, we're going to chop it up over the next, I don't know how long, I mean, through the end of the year, maybe beyond, I don't know, but very much looking forward. There's none better to just sit and screw around with on the air than Jody. Because, like, there's things that she can just bounce and roll with, and she's just great. So Jody Jackson comes up here at about 10:15-ish. John Wilner, Wilner Hotline, all things college football. Week one is done. 0 week, they want to call it that. Huge games coming up this weekend. Huge. And John and I are going to get way in the weeds on college football. So Jody Jackson, Jody and I are going to get in the weeds on the Diamondbacks and on the Cardinals, and John Wilner on college football. That is all straight ahead. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Great people there at Desert Financial. Yeah, the college football was great, but I have to start with the Diamondbacks because it's such a fun team to watch. I have found myself these last, I don't know, since right around the All-Star break saying, when do they play? And I have to adjust my viewing habits, my consumption of sports around the baseball team because they're good. They're fun. They're entertaining. I think they're better than last year's team. We're going to talk to Jody about that in our segment coming up here momentarily. They sweep out Boston. This isn't a great Red Sox team, but anytime you can go on a road trip, especially as bad as they looked a week ago I was sitting here ranting, like, can you believe the Tampa stinking Bay had swept out the Diamondbacks? And here I'm a week later saying, hey, man, they went to Miami, and Miami's not good, I get it. And they went to Boston, and they go six, and they take care of business there with a sweep. That's a heck of a deal. It's a heck of a deal. 11-day road trip, 9 games, and they go 6-3. And I was one of those, and I'm sure many of you were around May, saying, what is going on with Gino Suarez? Why is he here? He's doing nothing. And this was in May. And the team is just kind of circling the drain. And I don't know what happened. Jody may know. But all of a sudden, Gino Suarez, that $15 million option for next year is looking pretty attractive. What do you do when Christian Walker comes back the way Josh Bell is playing? And I can go right down the list of people and players. I know there's some that are saying they don't want to see Jordan Montgomery ever again. They don't want to see Paul Sewald again. And I would say that's wrong. Like, they're in the middle of something pretty cool if you look at just the numbers of games that they have won since the All-Star break. Like, they've won 34-47. 34-47. And now the fun even gets ratcheted up further because you have the Mets, a team that is still in the wild card chase. They can't field to save their lives. And you have the Dodgers. And you have four with the Dodgers into Labor Day weekend. And both those series are at home. So how could you not get excited about that? Like, I'm leaning in saying I am all about what's going on with the baseball team. All about it. And Jody and I will chop it up here momentarily. I must admit, I watched like 5 minutes of the Cardinals-Broncos preseason game yesterday. It was late. And I found myself saying, what are you doing? This is 5 minutes of your life. You will never get back because it's preseason football. It doesn't matter. Try telling that to Desmond Ridder, who was put in concussion protocol. The Cardinals have to sign somebody, don't they? They have to sign somebody behind Kyler Murray, because I know this to be true in the NFL. Quarterbacks get hurt when it's a long season. And I look at both those guys, Clayton Tune and Desmond Ridder, and say, but I'm not going to sit here and make too much out of it, because, I mean, yesterday was just CBS putting on an announcing crew that needed some reps, some new voices. And if people spent 3.5 hours watching that stuff yesterday, more power to you. It's just like, what? So that happened. I had a great weekend. I've got this puppy who is who's 13 weeks now. And I am not the one to get up in the middle of the night, but I found myself trying to hold my end of the bargain. You know, four kids, you get up in the middle of the night, but she did like 95% of it. I got to be fresh to do my thing. We worked it out, compromised. This time with this pup, I'm getting a little bit of heat. So I was up in the middle of the night, got up a couple times in the middle of the night. What are these bells we put on the door? I've trained him to go over to the bells and like whack the bells so he's able to get out, which I'm very much happy with. So that was part of my weekend too. Jody Jackson, a weekly segment starting this week after this timeout. It's Jody Jackson's Gems, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. We appreciate their support and very much looking forward to our new segment. Jody is next, then John Wilner. Stay with us. I'm super pumped to do this segment. I always like seeing Jody Jackson across from me in a Zoom or in person because she gets after it. I like to think I get after it a little bit, not nearly as much as she does. So we got to talking about the creative side of things, and then E.D. Marshall Jewelers came up, and they've been with Jody through the years. And I said, well, what if we had Jody Jackson's Gems? And you said what?
I said, of course, let's do it. I said, love you, Brad. Love E.D. Marshall and appreciate their support. This is a great connection. Now, you and I have done this a lot over the years, but not on a regular basis, not part of your shows. I love what you're doing with all of your shows. And you and I, through the years, we believe in telling stories. We believe in, when you say get after it, I take that to mean me doing my running around, covering all the teams. You do the same. So we believe in keeping that going.
Yeah, right? Here's how it'll go. It's how it's always been whenever Jody comes on with me. And just for any guest, I never really tell them what I'm going to ask them because I already know they know their bleep. So we don't need to go down that path. But it's like the other day, I'm talking to Jody about this and just how things are going. And she's in a cab in Tampa.
I was in Miami.
You're in Miami. Your hometown. And you made a big gaffe. And this is what it's like. She's got to get into the clubhouse. She's got to do her job. And you take the story from there.
Yeah, well, there's by the Lone Depot Park in Miami. So, and just a little history note, when I was growing up, it was the Orange Bowl was in that place, in that site. I lived in Broward County. My mom and I would go down and go to the game. So this is always like, it's funny when I go over the Miami River, it's always like a memory for me. But nowadays, not only is the Orange Bowl not there, and now it's beautiful Lone Depot Park. It's a lovely, it's a big, monstrous, gorgeous ballpark. But around it in the neighborhood, there's a school there now where school gets out right about the time I'm getting out of my Uber, right? Now, if I take the team bus, I'm in good shape. A team bus, they go down like a separate street. I didn't map that all out for my driver. So basically, I look at the thing, I'm on the phone with you. I said, it says 0.4. I look down at my shoes. I'm like, I'm not wearing the best shoes, but it's fine. I'll hustle in there. I tell the guy, we're sitting there in this traffic with the school, you know, pick up for a good like 10 or 12 minutes. And I'm just getting out. I have to get out. I have to run in there. And so I did that.
And I hear the driver like, are you sure? You know, like he wants to make sure.
I'm thinking, I know you don't want to sit here for another 10 minutes. Like, I don't want to sit here for another 10 minutes. I'm looking at him thinking, you know, he's probably like, I could be off on another job making money right now. So
yeah, no, that's part of what this will be, is just like the adventures through the years. Jody Jackson's Gems, E.D. Marshall Jewelers. It is week number one. We plan on doing this, I don't know, as long as we have fun doing it, right? I mean, we'll
absolutely.
Just keep banging it out. All right, let's get into the baseball side of things. So did you see Dana White sitting there next to the dugout and Torrey yesterday? Did you talk to Dana White? I've had all these people say, you have to ask Jody about Dana White because they think that's the coolest thing ever. Forget about the fact the baseball team is playing out of their minds. So Dana White.
No, I didn't realize it at first because, first of all, the first two games of the series, Derek Hall was in that seat. Derek was sitting there and, you know, Colin Massey was there, Tom Harris, their wives were there. And, you know, that's a great spot for the visiting, you know, team's front office president and whole group. So then it just, it wasn't until the second inning or so, I think my husband texted me and said, that's Dana White next to Torrey. And I hadn't seen the shot yet of the two of them chatting. I think that happened a little bit later. And I kind of just assumed, you know, it was someone with the Diamondbacks organization. I'm on the other side. So the answer to why I didn't, you know, really go over there or anything is just because I was, well, I was running around the stadium too, the red seat, the whole thing.
You were everywhere this weekend.
It was really cool. And I give a lot of credit to, you know, it reminded me of the old days when I was first covering baseball and I was in these stadiums and doing all the like cool stuff, because now like Todd Walsh and I, we've been to these stadiums before and you try to refresh it every, because our viewers, we're doing it for the viewers, so it's not about us, like we'll go do it again. But for me, I had never worked at Fenway. I had been there as a fan. I had never worked a game at Fenway. So my director, Amanda Smarage, she's from Boston. She directs, I don't know how many, but like a portion of our games, you know, 20 games or so, 25 games. And she was there and kind of, so it was really a no brainer. Like, let's just make this happen. Cause she was like, let's do it on this camera. Let's figure out this camera. And producer Dan Lonkey as well. So Dan and Amanda had, you know, were very encouraging, because sometimes it's, I remember many years where I'd be like, I want to go do this. And everyone just kind of rolls their eye. Oh, we got to make the mic work. We got to get the camera to, what camera can we shoot you on? You know, you never want to hear, I never want to hear no. And they were just like, they were coming forth with the ideas even before I could do them. So it was great. I was on top of the monster. I was inside the monster. I was out in the bullpen where the D-backs are like literally on the field right there and the fans are all around them. So it was cool.
What's it like in the monster? Would I fit in there at 6'8"? No way, right?
Yeah, you just have to crouch down a little bit.
Yeah.
It's pretty narrow, though. Like, you walk in, and it's there's just all the stuff on the walls. It looks, it's all scribble, scrabble. Some of the names you can read, some you cannot. Sometimes there's a few people that took, like, white paint, which is a little aggressive. Like, you're supposed to find your little spot and write your name, right? Like, I don't know who decided they would just take a paintbrush and do white paint, but I couldn't even make out those names. But it is cool. It's all the history, all the names in there. I mean, I saw a few names that I'd recognize, but you could tell there's a lot of people and their friends and their families that have been in there.
Yeah. When you're gone for 10 days, you're gone 10 days, right?
I think it was actually 11 days because we left and we had an off day. We had another off day in the middle.
Yeah, when you're gone that long, do you come back on a day like today and be like, I got to talk to Brad. I don't even know what city I'm in. I'm going to dial 9 on my cell phone because it's just habit of dialing 9 for room service or whatever it is. Does it take a little bit to get back?
Bad. I think because we got home at a decent time. Sometimes you get home, some of these trips, if you get home in the middle of the night, it's worse in the morning. So last night with the time change and a day game and everything worked out really well. I think, you know, me as well as the players and coaches, hopefully they're having a good day off, because you kind of get to, you can get to bed at a decent time. You can come home. You can even, I've even done 1.5 loads of laundry.
Look at you. Wow. Early in the day. Yeah. Jody Jackson's Gems, brought to you by Edie Marshall Jewelers. She is going to be with us every Monday, and then you'll see her on television as well.
By the way, we need to get in there and stop into Edie Marshall. I need to check out a new round of gems to wear.
Wow.
So I'm excited for that.
I'll be right there with you. They have amazing watches and other things when I was in
there. They do. They have a lot of, it's not just the diamonds, it's the watches as well.
Yeah, no, then nice people. The baseball team. Okay, you have to be surprised. Or, you know, we're sitting there talking to each other, I think in May, and it's, well, they're all beat up, they're all hurt, they're, you know, it's just the way Rodriguez isn't here, Merrill's not here, and on and on and on. Jody, it doesn't matter who gets hurt. They keep winning.
It is amazing. I was standing there last night and we're trying waiting for the bags and I see Josh Bell. I see Luis Guillorme.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did we get here? But they've been amazing. They've been amazing pieces to this core group. This is really a core group that came back from last year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that different. Eugenio Suarez is, let's face it right now, he is the biggest difference. He is the absolutely biggest difference for this team. And I am proud to say that I was not in the group of people that wanted him gone.
Not at all. Not even for a moment. Like, man, is this guy going to figure it out? Because that was a pretty loud voice all around.
I know. I felt like, and I think sometimes people just look at me and say, oh, you're just, you know, you're just towing some kind of company line or you're just talking positive for no reason. No, it's just baseball. It's just the way that guys and his track record had been that he doesn't heat up till July. Now, is that an issue? Sure. You'd like to see it come sooner, but and then I give a lot of credit to Torrey Lovello, who got him to do it. You know, basically said it's kind of like what I interpret it. This is not what anyone said, of course. Sounded like a kick in the pants a little bit to change the routine, do high intensity workouts, do high intensity pregame stuff that he wasn't really doing, and because he's been in the league a long time and he just needed a change, and so that's a big deal. I'm using this traject machine that the guys do to simulate pitchers. So, but you know, it's also Corbin Carroll, really. When you see him get on he's starting every game by getting a hit. It feels like getting on base, you know, it's not like he's going 3-for-4, 4-for-4, but it's 1-for-4 with a walk. It's, you know, it's all of these ways to contribute. So there's a lot of good right now with this team. Let me just throw some numbers at you because yesterday, they completed, because it was interesting when we got off the air, Bob Brenly, as we were rolling out and heading to my post game, I kind of could hear them. And it was hearkening back for Bob to 2002. Hmm. And as you know, you were part of the World Series in 01, how good that team was. But then in 02, they actually were even better in some ways, yep. You know, and one of the stretches was 25-5. So we just talked about a couple of games that they went 20-5. Now they have gone 25-5, which matches 02, a year that I saw this note and I just wanted to share this, that it's the best 30 game span in franchise history. And they now are in it right now as well. And that team, of course, won 98 games, but was swept in St. Louis. Gonzo had the shoulder injury that year, which hurt them. But it's amazing to think about that, you know, just how good what this stretch means right now.
Yeah.
They need just 10 wins in their last 32. This is going into yesterday to match last season's win total. So they should blow away 84. They're at 75 right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, I'm in the clubhouse the last few days and I'm thinking about how special this is to watch.
Well, I had my notes for you and I actually do make a note or two, but is this a better team than last year's team? And the answer has to be yes.
Yeah.
And you think about it, Merrill is still coming back. It's not like he is in mid-season form, right? And Rodriguez is still just coming back. Your closer's trying to figure it out, but you've had a young closer that has established himself and has emerged. You added another lefty to the bullpen, which when Ohtani rolls into town this week, or if you're placing Bryce Harper again, like they're better there than they were a year. They're better equipped, I think, Jody, in the National League to get back to the World Series than they were a year ago.
Well, you're right. You hit on a couple of big points there. You know, the good news is Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen are healthy right now. Mm-hmm. Now, they've had a rough season, both of them. It hasn't been the season they wanted. Zach to a lesser extent. Zach has been okay. You know, Merrill just missed all that time. So now the question is, but the good news is they can return to form here over the next, you know, month and then heading into the postseason. Eduardo Rodriguez, the easy one is there's going to be no bullpen game this year in the World Series.
Yes.
You know, and Mike Hazen felt terrible about that. He was so accountable for that. He felt like he failed the team not having a guy that could go out there in that fourth game of a playoff series. So that's been fixed. They now have too many starters, as we know, and Jordan Montgomery is in the bullpen, which is, I think, very tough for him mentally, very hard to
Gotta
take.
Be. Gotta be.
I talked to him the other day, and it was kind of a hard conversation to have, really, because he's disappointed. He thought he kept thinking he was going to get back on some kind of role, but it is the best thing for the team. You can see that. Everyone can see that. So Ryan Nelson, look at how much better Ryan Nelson is. Look at how much better Brandon Pfaadt is.
Sure.
Justin Martinez is a million times better than he was because he's just had experience now and he's refined his taste. He knows so much more about how to get through an inning, no less than ninth inning, which he is doing right now. So Paul Seawald is, you know, he's the one that has a little bit of a, he's had a stumble here, but the good news is now you've got more options.
But I think if Seawald and Montgomery, because we're sitting here with a week to go in August or less than a week to go in August, if over the next 3 to 4 weeks, there's people are like, yeah, I don't want to see them ever again. That's the absolute wrong approach on this. It's look, if they figure something out, I'm sure Jordan Montgomery on a 1 year, $25 million incentive laden for X amount of starts, appearances, all that stuff is sitting there saying, I can't believe this has happened. Scott Boras did me bad. I saw that quote. But you know what? If he's able to figure it out in the next month, right now there's three left-handed relievers down there. I think Mantiply is working a ton. And so if you can find a way to get somebody back on track, as mentioned, when you have those lefties from the Dodgers and the Phillies, I just feel like if those two can come together in some way, shape, or form and give them something, the idea of them just being empty jerseys is wrong.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, for sure, Seawald's going to, you know, and then Montgomery, they'll figure something out there. I think it's just hard because he hasn't been a bullpen guy before. He's going to have to figure out a routine. You're going to have to figure out where but he could help. He could be, I mean, what they're missing, what they were missing is kind of a long man. So you hope you don't need that long man because that means your starter's going short. What was huge for them, Brad, in Boston, it was each guy went six innings. Ryan Nelson went six. Zach Gallen went six. Merrill went six. And that just helps everyone, right? That helps not overtax everybody. The offense scoring runs to put them in a little bit easier situation. But their schedule's very tough here. So this is going to be really interesting because it's Mets, it's Dodgers, it's then going on the road, Giants and Astros, all formidable teams. So, and Dodgers is the one that you circled just because they're right there. They're lurking right there, three games behind the Dodgers. So, and then to think about fast forwarding, the last series is against the Padres. So it's going to be, this is what every fan wants though. Right. Like, but you're right. It's all hands on deck. And I know fans get upset and they say, oh, we don't want to see someone. These guys, it's just like anybody on a job, right? We go into work. So-and-so has been having a rough go. Maybe they're making mistakes lately at work. It's like, you're all still there working this out together. You all still have to, you're all getting paid. You're all part of the team, right? Everybody can contribute. And that's just all that it is. And I love that about, you know, I mean, it's not about at this point, and that's a no-brainer at this point in the season, is it doesn't matter how much each guy's getting paid, right? It's just about winning games. So make the right decisions for the team and go out there. And if it means that, you know, if it means Montgomery doesn't pitch very much, I guess so be it. But, you know, there might be, and for him, every time he does, it is going to be a chance to prove that he's still valuable. You know, I mean, Mike Hazen said the other day, this guy's going to have a long career still in front of him. He's still a good pitcher. He's having a bad season.
Yeah, no. And
actually, that was my quote. I'm telling you, he's having a bad season. Mike was putting in perspective that there's still a lot ahead for Jordan Montgomery.
Sure.
And, you know, it's like my quote is he's having a bad year, and it's a very bad, it's bad timing for him. But he does have, because the Diamondbacks really needed a pitcher this spring, he does have some financial security because of it.
Sure. No, but it's, and you and I could go on the Diamondbacks side. I don't want to get over to the Cardinals in a second, but just, you know, it's the, when Christian Walker comes back, what do you do with Josh Bell? Because he's been so good. When you have all the injured players, the three injured guys that come back behind home plate, your MVP, your all-stars, and yet every last move that they've made has worked. It's not like I'm sitting here saying, man, Hazen screwed up on that move. That was a terrible signing. That was this, that was that. I mean, there's a little bit of mad bum to Jordan Montgomery going on around town. There's a little bit of that, Jody, in all honesty. But
yeah, I get it. Heck, Eduardo Rodriguez is shedding that as well because he missed 5 months, you know, 4 months. So he missed 4 months. So you're like, what is going on with the lefties that get signed to the long year deals? Now, Jordan's isn't a multi-year. It's two, right. It's basically two, I guess, if you count that
he's got the option.
Yeah. But yeah, but you know what? You're right. Everything. And it's been fun watching Luis Guillorme. I mean, Ketel Marte, Luis Guillorme, right? One's an MVP candidate. One was on the street. But yet the guy has come in and made some tremendous defensive plays. And if you know, Ketel's going to jump right back in and he's going to power this lineup because hitting's day to day, as much as it looks great right now, we all know. We all know that's not how it normally goes with offense, right? So they're going to need Ketel Marte. They're going to need Christian Walker. But Guillorme, just being on the team, knowing you have that guy over there, I've just watching him play second base has been so much fun. And Josh Bell's been pretty good at first as well. But they have now more than they need, but it's security with injuries. What if somebody has a setback? You know, you're not going to have a panic moment in September, so, or October. So, yeah, it's really every move that Mike has made recently has been good. But, you know, it's like you take a lot of swings and sometimes you connect. And that's just it. I mean, Mike, you know, that's any general manager. But if you're afraid to take the swings, that's where you're not going to be successful as a GM. I think he's willing to take the good and the bad. And when the good hits, it's very good. It's been a home run lately.
It's like being broadcasters. Yeah. Now, if you don't want to take the swing, forget it. We're not doing Jody Jackson's gems if we don't swing big. Jody, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers, which is great because now we can swing over to the Cardinals. Preseason football, thank goodness, is behind us. It's in the rearview mirror. We have a couple weeks to sit and get ready for the start of the season. I like the direction the organization is heading. That's easy to say. I don't know if I like having three home games out of the first four in September. Kind of like to have it spread out. But the way the schedule is, opening up at Buffalo, then you have the Rams, Detroit, Washington, all at home. What do you make out of this first month as we come into the start of the Cardinals season?
Well, it's funny. Going back to my plane ride 5 hours from Boston, I started to stream the game on my NFL Plus, and then I was watching it and thinking, why? Why?
Right.
What I did gather, though, is that clearly the backups for the Cardinals have been getting beaten by the other team's backups, and that's a little bit of a concern. But I think I'm looking forward to, like everybody here in the Valley, seeing everyone together, because I think the strength of this team is clear. It's Kyler Murray, it's James Conner, it's Marvin Harrison Jr., along with Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, all the offensive weapons. But I think
Trey McBride.
Yeah, I mean, I'm leaving out even a couple guys because they have so many weapons. But I think the true key is going to be the offensive line. And if the offensive line can stay healthy, I think this team will be pretty good. I think it'll be better than expected, whatever people think it's going to be. If it's going to be, I mean, they're coming off a very feel-good year for having only 4 wins because of the way that they, the fight that they showed and some of the things that they did when Kyler came back. But I think it hinges on the line play on both sides. And then in the secondary, I thought, for example, Max Melton would really contend for a starting spot. I looked for him out. I was at the red and white scrimmage, red and white practice. Didn't see him out there. I know they downplayed the injury, but I don't know where he stands, that he's healthy, he's playing. But I thought Max Melton might be more of a factor. It's early. Maybe he still will be. But luckily, I think the moves that Monty Ossoport made in the offseason to bring in some secondary help via free agency is going to really help them. How Kyler and James Conner go in this season, I think, is how the Cardinals are going to go. And the defense is really going to be a work in progress. What I saw from the preseason, like you said, is not a lot. With they don't start anyone, no one gets time really. None of them. But I think we've been pleased with, the one thing that is a concern is backup quarterback, because neither Clayton Tune or Desmond Ridder really seem to thrive in the offense. So we know they're not afraid to make a move, a la Josh Dobbs last year in the middle of, right before the season. So this little week, I don't know what you call it, the dead week or whatever, is going to be interesting to see if they go with Clayton Tune. Look to me a little better than Desmond Ridder. And do they go with Clayton Tune as the backup, or do they, I think they probably need to have a veteran guy there in case something happens to Kyler Murray.
Well, in the NFL, I know this to be true. Something will happen to Kyler Murray. Unfortunately, that position, if you don't have a stud behind him, you don't have somebody that you can rely upon, the veteran, the Colt McCoy that's got to come in, you're already behind the eight ball if Kyler can't play. But you cannot have what happened last year, where Clayton Tune's put into play at Cleveland, I think it was, where it was just
Yeah, it was brutal.
hard. It was just brutal. And you can't do that. What I'm wondering is, when you look at Jonathan Gannon and you see the approach that he is going about along with the general manager, Lonnie Ossenfort, the 1-2 tandem, Jody, how do you feel about the direction of the organization with those two? Or is it still, you know what, Brad, we're only coming into year number two. Can't give you a solid assessment yet.
Well, I think the philosophy has been good. They're very adaptable. They're tough. It's a tough team. The type of beliefs that the two guys are spreading together among the guys that they've brought in, guys that love football, guys that are completely dedicated to football, those are really showing up. And I think it showed up last year. I mean, last year's draft class was very productive. I think we're interested in seeing, what is this year's class going to show beyond. I think everyone it feels pretty good about Marvin Harrison Jr., but the later round picks, is it going to be a guy like Rabbit in the secondary? He's got a lot of speed. How will that show up? You've got now with Darius Robinson being injured, that was really tough to see. I don't know how long he's out. I know they haven't really said, but that guy was going to be electric. I just the practices that I saw. So, but you can't, that's one thing about JG is that there's never pity party. It's moving on. It's next man up. I mean, and that's most football coaches actually, but they're going to have to find that pass rush. They're going to find all, but I think together what those two have shown, a unified front, with the coaches that have been brought in, I was very impressed with both coordinators last year, Nick Rawlins and Drew Petzing, and I think that'll just get better. I mean, these guys were only doing this in, it's the first year together, and I think I loved the, for example, on offense, it already took a huge leap past what Cliff Kingsbury was doing when it comes to creativity, when it comes to the run game. I mean, there was so much that was there that could have been. It almost makes you a little bit angry because you think, what could they have been doing? If they had had a little more of just a scheme that was, going to allow more deception, Kyler under center a little more, all the things that create, basics in an offense that create deception for the defense. And then, Rawlins and again, and I know as a defensive guy, too, and what they're putting together, I do believe in. I just want to see if this draft class can be as productive. And because I'm pretty sure that they'll take a step forward this year. I think everyone feels confident with that, with Kyler out there, with more weapons on offense. James Conner just continues to prove. Running backs usually they drop off. He's getting better, it looks like, with each year so far. And so I am excited to see it. I don't know how many wins it will equal, but I do think that it is a real functional group that they have put together under that leadership.
Fun stuff. Chopping it up every week. Jody Jackson's Gems, brought to you by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. Jody and I will get together every Monday and just bounce around. We're going to talk about mom with a quarterback in college some weeks. Some weeks it's a high school daughter. Some weeks it's just on the run. It's speaking engagements. It's whatever. And it's brought to you every week by E.D. Marshall Jewelers. Jody, good stuff. Thanks.
Great to be with you, Brad. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you next week.
And we're back with more after this timeout. John Wilner is with us. All things on the college football front, none better than John Wilner and Wilner Hotline. You can follow him on his social media at Wilner Hotline. Of course, his content is right there on our homepage at sports360az.com. It is good to see John. He has recovered from a first weekend of college. Did you watch, like, start to finish?
No. So, in all honesty, I watched some.
Yeah.
This was the last Saturday until
February, right? Probably.
If you include college basketball, it was really the last Saturday until the middle of April that I could spend much time with the family. So I took a little bit of family time. You know, I watched some of the Florida State, some of SMU, Nevada, you know, two good games. If week zero is weeks one and two and three are going to be anything like week zero, it's going to be a great September.
Okay, so let's go through this. I watched the Florida State game, not start to finish either, because I'm like you, we're on this clock. And I like that we both have a little bit of life balance while we still can. But in the new world of college football playoff, okay, Florida State already has a loss, and they play Labor Day next Monday against Boston College. Is that a playoff game for Florida State, the way that things go, from your view in this new world?
Well, they could get into the playoff, and it's a perfect example of the new world order with this first game, the Florida State loss, and what it means.
Right.
In the past, they would have been in position where they had to run the table, including the ACC championship game, to get in. So basically, they need to win 12 in a row to get in the playoff, to have a chance to get in the playoff with one loss. But now the whole calculation is different. Yeah, they probably need to beat Boston College, but remember, there are two avenues into the playoff. You can get in as an at-large with, you know, one or two losses, but you could also get in as a conference champion. So if Florida State, they could technically lose to Boston College, it'd be another conference loss. They'd be 0-2 in ACC, but they can still get into the ACC championship game with two losses, depending on how everything else unfolds. If they win the ACC championship game with two losses, they're in the playoff. So it's not really a must win. I mean, it's pretty darn close. If they lose to Boston College, then they have zero margin for error, probably the rest of the regular season. But they'd still have a chance because they could get into the ACC championship game and then take the conference's automatic bid.
Okay, so the rule then still applies. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. That still applies now with this expanded playoff. Or does it, you know what, Brad, games in September are going to matter a little bit more, because I think the Florida State fan base is probably in shock that they are down and they look so bad and they looked horrible in their bowl game. And so all of it, and I'm sure Jim Phillips is sitting over there, the commissioner of the ACC, on one hand saying, that's right. And then on the other hand say, couldn't happen to a nicer group of guys over Florida State.
Well, that's part of the backdrop to that game, right? Is here's Florida State taking the ACC to court,
yes,
trying to leave the league. We're better than the ACC. We deserve to be in the Big Ten or the SEC. And they can't beat Georgia Tech, which is, you know, not exactly a perennial power, right? And then you overlay it with the being snubbed by the playoff, getting waxed by Georgia in the bowl game, then this, and it's like these dark clouds are circling the program. It's going to be hard for them to kind of extricate themselves from this little down spiral, but they do have a chance because of the playoff. The games, what's going to happen is there's going to be some games in November that don't matter as much as they used to, because both teams, Michigan and Ohio State, will both be in the playoff, win or lose.
Yep.
You know, there's years they'll both be in the playoff. But what now is interesting is there's so many games in October and early November that will matter that didn't matter before, because it's a two-loss team against a two-loss team, and they could both get in as at-larges. They could both get in as a, you know, if they win a conference championship. So there's going to be more teams and more games that make a difference, and that's going to increase interest in the sport, increase ratings over more games. It's going to be fabulous.
None better than John Wilner on a national stage. Of course, he's part of Sports 360 AZ with his content, joins us every Monday, year four of our little get together to chop it up. Let's look ahead then to this weekend. I think Clemson, Georgia, obviously the Georgia Bulldog fan will say we'll win by 50. I think there's a side of me that wants to see Clemson beat them or be competitive, because Dabo Swinney is saying, you know what, we're not all in on transfer portal yet. He's like a last bastion, last flag in the stand. That's the early game right out of the gate on Saturday morning.
Yep. Yeah. Dabo's kind of like, you know, walking around with a rotary dial phone in some regards, right? I mean, and you got, in some ways you got to appreciate it, but it is, I think it's going to be tough for them to continue to have their head in the sand on transfers and be competitive at the highest level, which is what we were used to seeing from them previous era. I'm curious to see Clemson now relative to what we saw from Florida State. It will really, I think, if they go and take, you know, play Georgia down to the wire or win the game, that kind of tells you a little bit about how that two-team race could unfold in the ACC and whether there's going to be room for somebody else, SMU, maybe Miami, with Mario and Cam Ward at quarterback. Is there going to be a you know, Virginia Tech or some kind of dark horse? Having the Florida State loss with a huge game for Clemson against Georgia, very telling early on in, for the ACC race.
And I think the Miami of Florida, Florida game on Saturday, John.
Yes.
We're expecting that Billy Napier is going to get blown out. I think he's on a lot of lists of a coach that's in trouble. So for him, it's, hey, you know what? We're not in trouble. And for the U, it's, we put a lot of money into transfer portal, into NIL. We are the U. That matchup's intriguing.
It is. From the standpoint, too, of the quarterbacks, Miami relying on Cam Ward, the transfer from Washington State, just as Florida State was relying on DJU, transfer from Oregon State, is, and DJU didn't play great, right? It was the same DJU we've been seeing, right? I think he just doesn't see the field all that well. Cam Ward was up and down at Washington State. Are we going to see the good Cam or the bad Cam? And how often this season are we going to see the good Cam? That will have a huge impact on Miami's season. Florida, we should all be counting the wins early, because they have the hardest final month. I'd argue they have the hardest final month based on preseason polls of any team in college football history. I mean, it is insane. I mean, they got Florida State. They got, I think, Georgia's in there, Texas, LSU. I mean, it's ridiculous. Hmm. So if Napier doesn't stack enough wins early, by the end of October, there aren't going to be enough wins left to save his job. They got to be 5-1, 6-0 when we get to the midpoint of October, or else I think he's got no chance, because that final, the finishing schedule is so tough. And if Napier gets blown out, here comes the domino effects, you know, and does Florida turn to the favorite son, alum Jed Fish at Washington, or go turn somewhere else? I don't know. We're, you know, that's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but because of Florida's schedule and the heat on Napier, there's dominoes that could fall from the Miami game this weekend.
We all expect Notre Dame to be in the playoff just the way this thing is stacked, right? So when they play Texas A&M this Saturday night, it's our first look at Notre Dame and what to expect this year.
It is Notre Dame's unique situation with the playoff. They cannot get in as an automatic qualifier since they're an independent. So the at-large route is the only thing available for them. And you figure Notre Dame, if they're 10-2, they're probably in. A 10-2 Notre Dame team is probably ranked in the top 11, which is what they would need to get in the playoff. 9-3 Notre Dame, I'm not sure that's quite good enough, but their schedule's not as hard this year. You know, they don't, some years it's just brutal with the way that, you know, they schedule far in advance and they've got the ACC teams. And some years it's just ridiculous, and some years it's really manageable. And I would put this as a real manageable year. I think they got Florida State at home. They play USC, but it's not stacked with brutal road games. Notre Dame, if they could beat A&M, I think they've got a great chance to get to 10-2, which would secure them an at-large bid.
Okay, then Sunday in Vegas, USC,
oh, yeah,
LSU, and Lincoln Riley's one of those coaches that I look at this year and say, a little bit of a warm seat on Lincoln Riley. Would you agree or disagree on that? What do you make out of LSU?
Warm seat for sure. I don't think it's hot. I don't think it gets hot unless they are in that, you know, 6-6 window, maybe 7-5.
They have
Otherwise,
to
I think they'll be okay.
John, they have to make the playoff, don't they?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
USC alums are like, hey, man, we're a playoff team. We have NIL in here. We're not accepting going to another bowl game. We have to make the CFP, right?
Okay, but let me flip that on you.
Yeah.
3-point loss to LSU. Touchdown loss at Michigan. Close loss to Notre Dame. They're 9-3. They don't make the playoff.
We don't lose to Notre Dame. We're USC. We are not going to let the Notre Dame Big Cigars rub it in our face. That's like Ohio State losing to Michigan this year. It can't happen.
I don't know that I'd go that far. I think he's going to be okay. If they look good, win 8-9. I don't think the bar is playoff or bust for him third year after having that great first year. I do agree that he's under pressure. I just think the bar for him is probably 7-5 to get fired, not missing the playoff. Their schedule is really hard. They also play Penn State, right? And they've got Washington and UCLA. I want to say that they play at Nebraska. They might have Nebraska at home, Iowa. It's a really difficult schedule. When they put LSU on the schedule for this game in Las Vegas on Labor Day Sunday, it was a great idea at the time because that window, from a TV standpoint, that window, 4:30 Pacific, Labor Day Sunday, there's nothing else going on. It's an awesome window. That's when remember the UCLA, Texas A&M about 5-6 years ago? UCLA had that incredible rally with Josh Rosen.
Yep.
It is a great TV window. This was a great idea. Now it doesn't look so great for the Trojans because they have the Big Ten schedule. So we'll see. They need to look good. The defense needs to look like it has been upgraded from the version we've seen the last 2 years, which usually gets stampeded.
Yeah, I'm not going to cry a river for USC. I have
no. Don't cry a river.
I don't hate them. People are like, oh, you're hating. No, it's just I get you. USC fans are like Dallas Cowboy fans. We're the greatest ever. We're USC. Yeah, the Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since 1996. Just so we're clear. USC, what have they won recently, John? So, yeah, if you're going to be Big Cigar and talk a great game, go play it. That's all I'm saying. Go beat Georgia. Show you're the best. That's all. So, there you go.
You're tough, man.
Yeah.
You're tough.
My Monday.
You know, he's got 30-year of a contract. We don't know how long the contract goes for, but it is like $10 million a year. So they would probably be on the hook for, I'd say, you know, possibly $40, $50 million if they got rid of him after this season. Plus the staff turnover, you have to consider the finances.
It's USC. They don't consider finances, John. They've got Pete Carroll teaching on campus. It's pretty simple.
That's an interesting piece, too, is because it just reminds everybody of the glory days.
Sure.
Lincoln Riley has got to say, it'd be great to have Pete around, but you wonder if he really thinks that, right? Because it'd be like, you know, Nick Saban hanging around Kalen DeBoer's practices. I don't think that's what DeBoer wants. And for Riley, especially if things start off poorly against LSU, then, you know, Carroll's presence will just add to the dark clouds that are circling the program.
All right. I'm just having a little fun.
It's worth having fun. And especially with USC, I get what you're saying. And everybody who's not a USC fan feels exactly the way you do about, you know, living in 1972.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is today's realities, getting rid of Lincoln Riley, if they're 8-4, 9-3, I'm not sure that happens.
Yeah. Pat Hayden's not running out of the tunnel. Either is Mike Garrett. So we'll leave it at that. Okay. A couple of newsy things.
Or Keyshawn or
Marinovich or, you know, anybody. Curtis Conway. I don't know. All right, so let's go a couple of places of business, things that are happening. Deion Sanders is now saying, I am not taking questions from a main columnist with the Denver Post. What do you make out of this story? And do you think behind the scenes, the people in the administration, forget about the athletic department, the people in the administration are saying, we didn't sign up for this with Deion Sanders?
They kind of did. And if they didn't think they were, then they were dumb, because this is exactly what you're getting with Deion. He's different, and they had to have known that. You know, the details, sure, they don't know how that is going to manifest itself, but they know that Deion's different. And in a lot of ways, he's been different in a great way for Colorado, the institution, right?
Sure.
Applications are up. He's been a fantastic source of marketing for the university itself. But sure. And that story breaks about him not, you know, it's Sean Keeler, who's an excellent columnist from the Denver Post. He's not talking to Sean Keeler. That story breaks. Colorado, they issued a statement about it. It was either a day or two after the story about the fact that that someone was in Saudi on the football program's payroll, was in Saudi Arabia trying to drum up NIL money. And you add it all, everything together, and the stuff with Shiloh Sanders and that lawsuit and his bankruptcy filings. And there's all this stuff going on outside the program. And it doesn't matter if they're winning. If they don't win, that stuff is going to have an impact on the tolerance level for Dion's shenanigans. We'll know soon, too. They play, North Dakota State's their opener, always a good FCS team. Then they got Nebraska, which should be better, and that game's in Lincoln. Then they play Colorado State, and that game is, I believe, in Fort Collins. They have a very difficult Big 12 schedule. If Dion doesn't make a bowl game, if he doesn't get to 6-6, all these shenanigans are going to have an impact on how he's viewed. He doesn't get fired, but certainly there's a lot more pressure on the university to kind of rein him in and rein the program in. Whereas if they're winning, he can pretty much do what he wants.
I think it's going to be a middle of the night. Dion takes a plane somewhere else and takes another job. There's no way he'd stick around if he felt like there was heat. And I also believe that he's had his couple of years up in Boulder, and he's done a good job on some fronts. There's some people that had their kids that were there. So they left, and I'm not hearing great things. Go ahead.
Here's the thing, though, Brad. He's only been at Boulder for a year and a half.
I know.
It feels like 5 years because of so much going on. He's only coached 12 games there. He got hired in early December of 2022. It feels like a lot more time because there's so much happening off the field and because of last year's roller coaster. But he hasn't really been there that long. He has been a major college coach for 12 games. We still don't know if he can coach, if he can manage the football side of the program. It will be very interesting. And the thing with the columnist just makes him and the university, I want to make sure I say this, it makes him and the university look small, right? Real small. Like the Obama-Trump thing at the convention, the small crowds,
It
makes them look small.
Yeah, yeah.
And you never win when you're trying to do this. Keeler is an opinion columnist. And if they can't take it, if Dion, an American sports icon, cannot take a little jabbing from a local sports columnist, that says a lot about him. And the fact that the university is backing him says a lot about where the university is relative to taking marching orders from Dion.
Okay, one other thing, and I could go on Dion all day. I think you could throw his name in the Dallas Cowboy head coaching mix if Dallas has a slow start to the year, because Jerry's crazy and he would do something like that. I could totally see that as something that would happen down the road.
If the Cowboys don't make the playoffs, Brad, he will give McCarthy a contract extension. There's something going on there. I don't know what it is. I don't know why they didn't change coaches 2 years ago. There's just my little Cowboy rant.
That's great. This story came out and flew under the radar a little bit. I'm glad you reminded me about it, and that is Connecticut and the Big 12. So the Big 12 is not done expanding. You and I have spoken about this many, many times. Is there some validity to these reports that surfaced Saturday, about UConn and the Big 12, John?
It was Friday afternoon. There is validity. They've been talking to Connecticut on and off, I don't know, at least a year, might even be 2 years. Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, is zagging when everybody else is zigging, so to speak, because he sees value in college basketball. Typically, the way the media valuations work, the modeling works, is college basketball is worth about 15 cents on the dollar. Football is 85 cents in terms of media revenue.
Sure.
Yormark thinks that basketball is actually worth a lot more than 15 cents on the dollar. And the Big 12 has great basketball, adding Arizona to Kansas and Baylor, Houston. It is, arguably the best basketball conference in the country. Adding UConn would just solidify that status. The Big 12 and the ACC have basketball as much more central part of their ethos than the Big 10 and the SEC. Connecticut makes a lot of sense in that regard. we'll see. I don't know that your mark ultimately is going to be able to make the money work in a way that satisfies the 16 current Big 12 institutions, because UConn football's terrible. They wouldn't join as a football school for years. Is there enough money in basketball? And a lot of that depends on Fox, and Fox happens to be the media partner for the Big East. Yeah. So in some ways, Fox would be overseeing a robbing from Peter to pay Paul, one conference that it is partners with to another conference it's partners with. I don't know how the math is going to work exactly, and that's going to be what decides it, because there's no way any of the 16 schools, Arizona, ASU, the rest of them, they are not going to give up a dime in order to get UConn in the conference. There would have to be – Fox would basically have to pay for it, which would mean, you know, diluting the Big East, which is another Fox property.
Yeah, but then we would have Bobby Hurley against Danny Hurley, because that's what I've been banging the drum on for years. And Bobby doesn't want to play his brother, but we need to see it, John. We need Connecticut against Arizona State, especially because I think Bobby's got the thing headed in the right direction. And when Danny took a shot at Arizona State out here at the Final Four, finally somebody said what needed to be said. If Bobby just had a little bit of support, I love that he used his podium and crushed ASU. We need more of that, John. So that's
what. It'd be a great rival. It would be great for fans. There's no doubt about that. ASU, depending on the state of the program, could be good for them competitively. I can understand the appeal, but the realignment, expansion decisions are made at the much higher level with regard to long-term revenue. And I am just not sure how that is going to work because there's no value to UConn football. We'll see. The other piece is if the Big 12 goes to an odd number of teams by adding UConn basketball, do they decide in a few years, you know what, it's not working, we got to go even number of teams, and then, you know, take another run at making the Gonzaga thing work? Because they have certainly had discussions with Gonzaga about joining, and the math didn't work there. But maybe the math would work with Gonzaga if UConn is also in the conference for basketball.
I'll just throw this in there, too. Keep an eye on Grand Canyon University, because Jerry Colangelo is part of that whole group. So wherever Gonzaga goes, I believe GCU is going to go. But that's just my little 2 cents. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
There's John Wilner. He joins us every week into the college football season, and we're back with more after this timeout.